Mariam Tazi in the house.
Hi, Malcolm Riddle.
Ooh.
How are you?
Been a minute.
It's more than a minute, but yes, I understand the expression.
Hey, man.
I'm saying.
I don't even know what to say. I'm out of practice, people.
What's up?
Ooh, and welcome to another episode of American Riddle.
How's it going?
Hooah!
Hooah?
That's all I got, man. I literally am drawing a blank right about now. Or just for the past few weeks, anyway. But I figured maybe I should come in and...
try. Excuse me. Sorry, I need to fix that voice.
Get it together,
Mariam. I'm rusty too.
Yeah, you got to make sure your joints are oiled, Mariam Tazi.
It's been a while, like you said.
And thanks for tuning in, people. Yes, I was on a bit of a hiatus. Mariam Tazi is a little sore. I see her rubbing her shoulder. Yeah. What's up with you? What'd you do? Lift something?
No. I've just...
Ain't lift a thing.
I've been working a lot, so it's taking its toll on me.
Mm.
I'm not as young as I used to be. I'm feeling it now.
Yeah, so. You ain't got to tell me. And that's part of the that is part of the discussion for today, people. So might not be the most entertaining podcast, but I
why would you say that?
Wait a minute.
You can't start a podcast by saying it's not going to be an entertaining podcast. All of our podcasts are entertaining, okay?
I don't know about that.
To us, they're entertaining. They should be entertaining. To whoever they're for, we have fans, okay? Don't feel down. Don't get all down. Like, it's not going to be... No.
This is it, people. All right, she's putting me in check.
Yeah.
Live on the air. But we are going off the top of the dome. You know what I mean?
As usual, what's different? There's nothing different.
This is true.
So.
Let me pot this music down a little bit. I don't even know which buttons to push anymore. Scared to push anything on this thing. How does anyone even look at all these things? All right, I think that's it.
There you go.
Good night.
Let's see.
I got this computer in front of me. Stuff's jumping. This is a studio. It's broadcasting live and direct. What I meant by entertaining... Whew, let me clarify myself, Mariam.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that. I was shocked by you starting the podcast like that. That's all.
I'm already sweating over here.
I am too, actually. It's kind of warm in here.
Mm.
Actually.
You know what I meant by that is it's more of a clarification because I have been off. I have received feedback. I have, a lot of questions. Not a lot, but a handful anyway, because, you know, it is what it is.
Uh-oh.
It is what
should
it
I ask?
Is.
What kind of questions, or do you not want to?
Like
talk
you know,
about
you're
it?
Gonna do a podcast. Where you been?
Oh,
you gonna you know?
Well, that's
what's
good.
Happening, you know,
that's good. I thought it was questions like, why are you doing the podcast?
Like, I get that sometimes, but not just off the cuff or anything like that. No one asks that unless it's like some new jack and you're like talking about. Oh yeah, I do a podcast. Oh yeah, about what?
Yeah.
So, but you know, it's not. No, it was just feedback on the hiatus. That's all. And so, you know, it's just a lot's just been going on. And you talk about your aches and pains have, you know, just physically and mentally have just been going through some changes. But in a weird way, because I'd say my workouts are where they used to be. Like, they're good as far as working out, watching what I'm eating and stuff like that. But it just doesn't – I was at the doctor's last week. I had to do a complete physical. And it's like I told her, I was like, you know, it really doesn't matter, you know, how many muscles you have or what your fat level is or anything. If your internal organs aren't right, you're done. You know what I mean? It doesn't even matter. And so that's the problem I've been having. I had a couple internal issues that didn't so much keep me away from the podcast. It kind of did and it kind of didn't. It was just more or less... everything in a whole, reflecting. And I don't spend a lot of time in the rearview mirror, but sometimes especially when you're sick, you know, you could have the flu or whatever, and you're just down and out. You're just in a funk.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but it's also good to take care of yourself. Like, we forget. We always get, like, I too, you know, I went to the dentist, and then it's like, oh, you have to take care of this and this. And you're just like, okay, so if I have to take care of this, I can't go on vacation. It's just certain things, you're like, I have to take care of myself and my health before... You can't do other things unless you try to take care of yourself first, you know, even mentally, physically, all that stuff. So
it's
important not to forget about that. But when you do, yes, like things happen. But, you know, it's the way life is, you know, there's ups and downs and stuff like that. So you just kind of have to deal and do what you can, because there are ways to heal, you know, you can't just like think that there are no ways to heal. So that's all.
I don't know. I was hit. I still am. I mean, you know, it took a lot for me to, I mean, last night I wasn't going to do the podcast. This morning I got up, I wasn't going to do the podcast. And then I thought about it. And I said, well, maybe I should just try. Because, I mean, it's just as it's as easy as anything else. When you stop doing it, you can get in the habit of not doing it. You know, it could be anything. It doesn't have to be a podcast. It could be going to work. It could be, you know, taking care of your health. It could be a lot of different things that we do. But it's just that motivation, finding the motivation. I mean, anyone that listens to the podcast, I've dropped hints, you know, for the past few months about doing the podcast. Instead of every week, you know, when I have something to say or present, instead of doing it weekly. The weekly thing, and I've said this probably since the launch or at some point, has been more exercise for me, you know, just to kind of get used to this overall format and getting more comfortable with my presentation and hearing myself and all that stuff. But I just, you know, I feel like this and everything else, I just feel like I'm bearing the weight of it. And whether it's on the creative side or production side or it could be anything. It's also in the wine business, working day to day. It's just the burden has gotten a little overwhelming. Not to the point that I can't handle it, but to the point where I look at myself and say, do I really want to handle this? Like, do I need to go through this shit? You know, I mean, do I really need this in my life? And it's a commitment. The podcast, of course, is a commitment. But, you know, when I'm, I mean, you see me do this shit. I mean, it's you know, it's not easy producing, you know, especially, you know, when you're doing it all yourself and you got to do the website and you got to do, you know, all that stuff. It's just like, come on, man. You know, and I enjoy doing it, but when I'm doing other things,
it's time consuming, and it's, you know, it is, like you said, it is a commitment, but you also know the consequence of commitment. Like, you've interviewed so many people that have committed to things and have a good story, you know, and I've been watching stuff where it's like, you know, you got to fail to succeed, you know?
Yeah,
and but it's true. It's like all the, there's like a lot of TED Talks, for example, like one thing that this lady said, she was just like, you know, all of us are basically like failures, you know, we're people that have failed or are not scared to fail because we failed over and over, but then, you know, have some success in the end, you know? So,
but see, I don't like that. I don't like that talk. I don't like that some success. I live in a world where, and this isn't a pity party, but I live in a world where there's very little reward. Very little. I mean, it does come. It does come in flashes, and I do appreciate that. And I think that's what I need to focus on. But God damn, I mean, you know, I mean, and again, you don't want to get caught up. You don't want to be that person where you're just constantly looking in the rearview mirror. But take the wine business for a minute. I didn't really want to rant about this, but here we go. Take the wine business for a minute. I look back, and I'm you know. Almost 19 years, right, in the game, right? Nothing to show for. I mean, when I say that, you know what I mean? Of course, you might be thinking of houses, a car, you know what I mean? You know, all the stuff, and that stuff really doesn't matter so much. I mean, I would like it, but it doesn't matter because it's just stuff at the end of the day. However, you know, when you... And people's perception of me is that I have that stuff. You know what I mean? People's perception of me is I'm on that level of success. So maybe that's the reward there, I guess. Perception. I don't know. Exactly. The face you're making says it all. But let me keep going. Hold on. So when I look back at this body of work and the amount of time that I put in, you know, it throws me a bit just because... I don't really want to be here. You know what I mean? It would be like, and I'm not comparing myself to Michael Jordan or anyone, but just think if he was like an executive or something, and he just decided not to play basketball. You know what I mean? Or let's say if George Lucas decided not to create something or produce, you know what I mean? Or it could be anyone, you know, a painter. I'm not comparing myself to that level, but I know that I can create stuff when I have the time and focus to do so, and I feel suffocated. I really feel suffocated that I don't have that outlet to do so, that freedom to do so, that freedom to explore that side at 100%. And I'm not even exaggerating when I say I feel suffocated. It pains me. It hurts me in a major way. Whew, just because it's a like it's a part of me that wants to come out, but it's not being allowed to. I'm not allowing it to. You know what I mean? Someone listening may say, "Well, you gotta take the risk. And you know, it seems like every time I try to put myself in that arena, something pulls me back. And at the end of the day, I think it's me. I know it's me. I know it is. And that's the problem.
Is it because that's the issue.
Because
I've been thinking about that kind of stuff too. And is it because you think, do you, well, actually, let me ask you, do you feel like you deserve, do you really feel like you deserve it? Do you see yourself deserving that for real? Like, can you, like, without feeling... but admitting your vulnerability, like, it's good that you're being vulnerable in that sense, but the shame, like, vulnerability and shame, this is something that I'm reading about currently, and that's really what...
Do I feel like I deserve what?
Creating what you want, like, doing
I'm creating
that.
Now, though. Okay, I was going to segue into this. Even with the wine business... In the wine business itself, anything that I'm doing, I create a newsletter every week. I create wine labels every week. I create a presentation.
Create what you feel like you're not letting out
every week. But that takes hours on hours. The presentation I emailed you, you know, I took off work. My second job worked all Sunday on something I'm not even close to satisfied. And the whole time I'm doing it, I should be writing the script. You know what I mean? What am I doing this when I should be doing that? You know what I mean? Why am I here when I should be there? You know what I mean? And it's the same thing that's kept me here in Virginia. You've never heard me say a nice thing about this state. I don't think so. Outside of, you know, my beautiful son that lives here. What the fuck? I mean, you know, and for the people that love this state, God bless you. You know what I mean? But it's never been, it's like, you know, it's like Drake. You know what I mean? Drake's dope, I'm sure, to somebody, but he's not my dude. You know what I mean? That's the only way I can compare it. You know, he's dope and he's Canadian, but that's not my place. You know, it's... Yeah, I know it's a bad...
Interesting.
That's how my mind works, though. The way my mind processes things.
I get it, process.
What do you say?
You are Canadian. That's such a Canadian thing to say, actually.
What do you say, process?
Yeah.
Hmm?
I've actually said both.
I speak the Queen's English. Okay.
Yeah, she turned 90 today.
She's making it. You know what I mean? Motherfuckers live long, long lives. Some of them do. Yeah. But the, you know, my point is, you know, it's been a and you also get to, you as you grow older, you start reflecting and looking not so much backwards, but you also start looking towards the future. You never stop. You don't ever want to stop looking to the future. You don't ever want to stop dreaming. You never want to stop asking questions and questioning yourself and your abilities, because that's what motivates you. That's what propels you. And this is me talking to myself, but at the same time, you know, you want more, you desire more. And as you just asked a question, you deserve more.
Do you honestly feel like you deserve more after all your struggles and stuff? When you're completely honest with yourself, like,
yeah.
Why are you stopping yourself? That's the thing. Like, there's something that's holding you back. So it's like when I, for example, like when I was at one of these events that I was pouring at, I told you about this.
I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know. I wish I knew. I wish I knew. Even still, the other day I'm thinking, okay, so I'm you know, it's exhausting. You know, anyone knows when they have deadlines for stuff and the events, and you have, you know, you got sales and you have all this stuff, and you know, it's so time consuming. But at the same time, sometimes I have these flashes, these moments of clarity where I'll be creative, but it's a small window. It's a small window, and I'll be, you know, it'll come and I'll write it down, or I'll take the note, or I'll explore it mentally, right? And then it closes. I mean, that portal closes fast, and then, you know, I'm done. I'm exhausted. It's gone because my focus is on a place that, you know, it's just a job. You know, here's a good story for you. All right, this is a guy. He came into work, my second job, not wine related, right? And Greg Gilmore. Greg was on the podcast a couple times, right? Good friend of mine. I guess one of his buddies, someone he knows, someone that's close with him or whatever, he wants to start a podcast, you know, food, wine, that type of deal. Go to the restaurants and interview them and all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But he didn't know where to start, what equipment to get or whatever. So he came up wanting to get a word in edgewise, right? So I sat down with him. I sat down with him and talked to him. But prior to that, him coming up, mm-hmm. right? Greg and his buddy, I can't remember his name, but they were talking, and he was like, well, describe him for me or whatever, you know, because Greg told him, he goes, oh, you should talk to Malcolm. He knows wine. He knows restaurants. He knows podcasting. He's got, you know, all the answers for you or something like that. I don't think Greg said that. He knows me well enough to say I've got all the answers, but it'd be a good, even you challenge that statement. Oh God. So Greg started to describe me to him, and he goes, well, you know, in the course of this conversation, the gentleman asked him, so Malcolm, his passion, his lifelong dream is how did he, you know, is wine? And Greg looks at him. He told me, he goes, yeah, I told him. He goes, well, no. No.
I can see him doing that.
No. He goes, I think what Malcolm is and where he's at is he's really good at it. He's very good at it, and this is why he does it. But his passion is creating, producing, and film. And that was his conversation he had with them. And when Greg told me that, like, literally, when he told me that, I did this. And I just set my head down on the table, literally, and teared up. He didn't know I did, but, yeah, I just sat there and I just kind of, you know, I chuckled and played it off or whatever and made light of it. But, you know, it just goes to show you, you know, if you pay attention, you know, it's, you can do the math and figure someone out pretty fast. And Greg, he, you know, to his credit, he does get me and he does understand me. Yeah, I'm at a loss for words. Mm-hmm. Just thinking about that.
Yeah.
Where do you go? Mm. I mean, there's worse things someone could be doing. You know, I guess, you know, the thing is, if you're doing something you're unhappy with, you do need to make a change. But it's so much.
Well, and the fact that it affects you so much, that you want to do it so much, and that you feel like you can't, or you feel trapped. You know, that's. That's a horrible feeling. Like, I couldn't...
You don't have to tell me. Know? I mean, I can't go out here and make money. And I'm not making money now. I mean, that's a whole thing now. I mean, when I look back, you know, my son is 14 now. I had him when I was in the wine business and I started the wine shop. And I can't say I've had a secure salary in those 14 years. I know I haven't.
It's a tough gig.
I know I haven't.
I think people definitely have a misconception they just have an idea of the wine business being very glamorous. You know, they'd be like, oh, do you get to travel all over the world?
Well, it's a funny...
And go to wine? And I was like, no, I have traveled, but it has nothing to do with the wine business. You know, like I've just been fortunate. Well,
I have traveled around the world because of the wine business. And those are some successes. There's no doubt about that. You know,
yeah,
those
for
are,
sure.
Those
That's
are,
great.
Those are successes that I do recognize and appreciate. However, leading up to it, to your point, that's the glamorous side of it. But the years or the year it took, let's say when I went to France for the first time, leading up to it, the shit load I had to take on and to sell and to be beaten up, you know what I mean? And to, you know, just going, everything
easy.
That you do. I did an event yesterday, right? And it was a wine event for a winery out of Napa Valley. And it was in South Riding, Virginia. However, the distributor didn't deliver the wine, right? One of the main wines was never delivered. And this was planned out like over a month ago. I had the orders in. Everything's in, you know what I mean? But the retailer didn't tell me until the day of. And the distributor didn't tell me about the mix-up until the day of.
So how are you supposed to fix it?
I had to drive out. Find the wine from another customer because this distributor is like 3 hours
away.
We
have an event, so you need the wine. Ugh.
And I needed I've got a lot of stuff going on, so I usually use that day to prep, you know, make sure that I'm focused, you know, on the presentation at hand, which I do leading up to it. But that day I like to kind of calm myself and to focus on that, not to drive all over Hell's Creation. I had to drive hour and a half to pick it up, and then another hour plus to drop it off. So my point is, that event was for about 30 people, private event, food and wine pairing. All morning I spent on the road, all afternoon. I got to the back to the location of the place 2 hours before the event because I wanted to make sure that traffic, I had the cushion and I was in the neck of the woods. So on my end, I'm covered. I just do it. I can go hang out wherever. It's what I did.
Yeah.
Right? Drop the wines off. And these fools didn't open them up until the start of the event. And these are all new vintage, new release red wines. Right? So they didn't breathe. They didn't open up. You know what I mean? They showed, you know, yeah, they were, anyone that knows wine, it really needs to stretch itself. So every wine that I presented, I made light of it, made a joke, compared it to the people waking up in the morning and how you have to stretch. But you know that that's the person that you love right next to you. So I used all sorts of analogies like that.
That's cute.
Yeah, so, you know, they didn't know. They all were oohing and aahing and talking
well, you're
to me.
A pro. You know how to, like, you know, but
they were talking to me about how glamorous my life is, and
they were telling you about how glamorous your life is.
Oh yeah, yeah.
See,
talking about
that's
how talking about how lucrative the wine business is, and how, you know, just you know, anyone.
Well, yeah, that's what they're like. You're so lucky you were, and I'm like.
They were going on and on and on.
Lucky.
It's going on and
why
on.
Why don't
and
I feel lucky? I don't understand. Like, I'm lucky I have work. Don't get me wrong.
I was like,
appreciate working.
They would ask me, like, where do you live and stuff like that. I'm like, you know, there's a better part, you know, and in a nutshell, I'm fucking, if it wasn't for family and friends, I'd be homeless. And I said, look at that. See that truck out there, the one with the ripped off fender? That's where I live. You know what I mean? Not to mention, I wrecked it again the other night. Yeah, I was tired and wasn't paying attention and ripped the side. Yeah. It was fucked up. But the, my truck is, but it's also a reflection. I look at my truck and it's a good reminder. It's a reflection of me, I think. That's why I'm going to keep it. And, it's a weird space that I'm in right now.
Yeah, I can tell.
It's a weird, weird place. I mean, it's not all down. There's some good things that have been happening. I mean,
really?
Yeah.
Like what?
Man, look at. I'm lean, I'm mean, you know what I mean?
Besides your
shell.
You know
what I mean? Look at that.
Besides your outer shell.
Abs are there. Look at that.
Mm. Really? Are you going to show me your abs?
I can.
Go ahead.
You want to see?
Yeah, I do. Let me see. Oh. Oh, wow. You are lean.
Look at that.
You want to turn around for me, too?
You know what I mean? Hold on, Mary. Hold on.
I mean, look since up. You're feeling look generous.
Out, man. Look out. Look out.
Oh, really?
Was that Mary, why are you taking my zipper down?
It was down, apparently. You were just fixing it, really.
I did a wine tasting one time. Not one time.
I know the story.
The zipper was, and I'm pouring the wine. So I'm standing up. I'm pouring the wine, right? And I looked down. I felt something.
Felt some air.
It was weird.
Or water splash from the bucket or something.
It didn't. But it was just like this, right?
I can't wear Dickies. If you wear khakis, it'll stay.
No, these are Dickies. But I had slack, you know, whatever. Trousers.
Trousers will stay like stiff like that? Like out?
But look. I felt something. It wasn't so much the air. I guess my hand brushed against it and I felt it.
Ah.
And I looked down and was like, oh.
It happened.
And it was all women's wine tasting too.
Loud.
And I was like, I wonder how long that's been open. I wonder if
how high was the table?
Notice. It's like this.
Oh, God. That's not good. Yeah, maybe the bottles were hiding things. You never know. Maybe you were lucky. But yes, that happens.
It's insane, man. Insane. I'm the Rodney fucking Dangerfield of the wine business. No. Yeah. What was I talking about? Huh? Oh yeah, the good. I mean, there are positives. It's not all gloom and doom. But it's a weird transitional space that I have to be very mindful and very careful. And I say that because, as you know, I don't think I've announced it on a podcast, but my brother and I got licensed to be a wholesale distribution company in Virginia. And so, mm-hmm. you know, a little warehouse. It's nothing big. You know, it's basically what I've been doing is connecting dots for the past couple years and hooking up different distributors up with, you know, different wineries. And instead of me, you know, pushing them to them now I can have dibs on them and make you know, try to make a longer margin and you know, cultivate and grow those relationships under, you know, our house.
Which is awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, but that's the thing I have to be mindful and be careful about because, I mean, I guess the cat's kind of out of the bag now, but I know my brother doesn't listen to this podcast, but, you know, I can only talk so much with him about this suffocating feeling because you can't really... You can't lead a company and tell the people in the company that you don't want to be there. You know what I mean? It can work against you, to say the least.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm there, and even if you have me at X a certain percentage, I'm better. You know, and this does sound conceited, but I'm better than two or three sales reps, and if they're at their peak.
Seen you in action. I know.
It just comes very, it's natural. It's very
easy.
You
are very good at it, just like your boy said.
Well, it's very easy and it's very, it's child's play to me.
To you?
Yeah.
Because it's not really that easy, but I'm just saying to some people, I guess, you know, but you do have a lot of experience and you've, I feel like you've always been good at it. So,
Well, I mean, that's probably the relationship, the connecting the dots, the sales part of it. And as far as like, you know, making the money and keeping the money and allocating and, you know, all that stuff, you know, somebody else has got to do that. You know, someone else has to go out and they've got to, you know, do the label approvals and do all that stuff. You know, I know my strong points. I know my weak points, but that's the whole point of bringing people on board. But yeah, I mean, that is, you know, there's not too many people that are able to, you know, think about or create, and this goes back to the creating stuff, create a company, have a vision, you know what I mean? Like the logo we just kept working on, and
this country is based on innovation.
You know, we just, it's there, it's up. You know, I've got that part. The website should be up, or page anyway, should be up soon. But I mean, it takes a tremendous amount of time, and it just I keep going back to that question. Like,
no wonder you're feeling overwhelmed. I mean, it's normal. I mean, with all that stuff going on, you're, you know, you never, I don't think you'd really ever take a day off. And it's just, well, I'll say it, you deserve a day off.
That's what I, well, that's like, what I tell the people.
You need it so you're, because you're burning out. Like,
well, that's what I tell the people at the second job. You know, sometimes, well, they'll say, oh, yeah, you're closing, or you, what are you doing after work, or what am I doing?
Work.
I'm working, you know what I mean? I'm working. Like, literally, I'm working while I'm driving. I'm working.
Yeah.
I'm working while, I'm working right now, you know?
Yeah.
I'm literally thinking of doing different things right now as I'm producing this this episode. So, yeah, it's a, I don't know, maybe I should just stop talking about this on the podcast right now, because it's, like I said, it's not that informative, but for the people that do listen to the podcast, I guess, you know, I should at least, you know, update, you know, what's happening, and so on. And even with the podcast, as I said earlier in the program, I've hinted about changing the format or changing, you know, I've gotten really bored with certain aspects of my life, and not so much bored, meaning the people around me or the things that I'm doing are boring. It's just, I need to change and challenge myself to do better and to have a better product, whether that be the wine business, whether that be the podcast, whether it be my workouts, the way I eat, the way I think as well. And that, you know, when I said you have to be mindful, if I keep feeling suffocated, if I keep, you know, bringing in a certain energy, then my body is going to, it's going to reflect on that. And that's, I think, was the infection when I, that I, it was, you know, it was kidney related, that I had, is, the mind suffers, so does the body, right?
Yeah.
You know, for sure. And I have to be really very careful that I project. It's weird because, not weird, but the universe has a very, strange way in talking to you, that you have to pay attention. And if you don't pay attention, you could, I mean, you know, I think, I don't read journals, you know what I mean? Read it all for that matter. But I've heard that, you know, people through stress have given them strokes, given yourself heart attacks, cancer.
Yeah, my father.
Stuff like that, just ailments.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I remember, you know, many, many, many years ago, my youth, that I would focus more on the positive, focus more on you know, the connective energy that you know, that pulls us together, that moves us forward. It wasn't even that long ago. I mean, doesn't have to be, you know, 10, 20 years ago, but even, you know, a few years ago or whatever, I would visualize it, right? And just, you know, out of the blue, one day I was thinking, I was feeling just, man, I was feeling like shit. And my son, he sent me this text, just out of the blue. It's just kind of cool, not weird, but really cool, actually. He sent me this text out of the blue, and it says, the mind, don't waste your mind. Visualize yourself greater than what you are. Peace. So he quoted the KRS.
Quote.
Yeah. Quote. Just
for him, yes. That's for you guys.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
And for those yet you listening, you may have missed it, but for my son's, I think it was his birthday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because yeah, he couldn't go see KRS, present. And KRS-One gave him a special shout out, and that's what he said to my son for his birthday. But it was cool the other day to receive that. And those are the victories, you know what I mean? Those are the,
yeah, that's a huge, like,
those are the things that pick you up and pull you through.
It's a huge moment.
And those are the things that you should be focusing on. I should be focusing on and building on. And that's what I have to be mindful of. Things get complicated. Things get a little complex as we grow. And it's just, it's weird, because sometimes I'll be, I say that a lot right now. It's weird. I'll sit next to my son, speaking of him, he's growing. Motherfucker has a mustache. This dude, lie to you not.
Oh, wow.
He's
okay.
And he knows he has it. And I'm like, all right, mustache. And he'll, He'll stroke it. You know, it's not a thick one. It's not, you know, it's like the faint hair, but it's dark enough. Since he's light skinned, you can see it, you know. It's there. This dude has a mustache. But I'll tell you a victory I also had.
That's a victory for you? He's got a mustache?
Well, yeah. Okay. I rock a mustache.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah. It's a victory, Miriam Tazi. Okay. A mustache. All right?
Okay. I mean,
mine's not a thick mustache, but...
Thank God.
What do you mean? There's been some great people with mustaches over time. You know what I mean?
There's a few people.
You know, Teddy Roosevelt.
Facial hair is like completely back now. So everybody now feels like, you know, low maintenance. I can just deal. No more clean shaven anybody. So, yeah, that's long gone. That look is long gone. As long as it's, you know, trimmed, we're good. Mm-hmm. Some people aren't really into that.
I mean, there's been some famous people with mustaches.
Burt Reynolds is the first one. I am fully aware that is the mustache that
I'm
comes
glad
to
you
mind.
Brought that up. You know what I mean? Teddy Roosevelt. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
Groucho Marx. Mm-hmm. His wasn't a real mustache though. That was fake. Why did they have him number one? Motherfucker wasn't even a real mustache. It was painted on. You know what I mean? But Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck.
And he had a hairy chest. I mean, not that I like hairy chests, but he was a man, you know what I mean? Men.
Yeah, my mom was into hairy chests. She's like, I love it. It's a real man. And I was like, really?
Freddie Mercury had
hairy
chest. Yeah,
I know. I mean hairy chest. And hairy chest and mustache.
Oh, shit.
You're funny. Yeah, no, it's a lot. It's a lot.
But Burt motherfucking Reynolds? I mean, come on.
That
man.
Is the first. Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? Billy D. Williams.
Oh my God, really? Are we going to...
A mustache.
Yeah, but that's not the kind of mustache you're talking about.
Well, mine's just kind of, you know, I like a little stubble here, and, you know, penciled in. It's there for a highlight. Huh? It's there for effect.
Okay. All right.
Because I don't want
to... Yeah, exactly. I asked you. Why don't you ever shave it?
And I have shaved it before. I shaved it when...
Well, just use... What's the face you make? You feel like you're going to have...
Tight-faced.
Yeah.
Tight-faced. Round. I got an oval head. I've got to have something else on there that distracts.
You have eyebrows. You have your features, your eyes, your nose, your mouth. You know.
Why are we talking about mustaches?
Because of your son.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's another victory. Yeah. Another... up, I'd say. So
okay.
He's really in Kendrick Lamar. Like,
really?
Like, he knows him. He raps. He can do the rhymes, the same rhythmic pattern, just like Kendrick.
Wow.
Right? And the other day, it's weird because I listen to Kendrick when I jog. It's the album I listen to. I listen to the whole album, and I know exactly what... Like certain songs and certain points of the songs, you know, I know which mile I'm on and stuff like that. So I pace myself with Kendrick's To Pimp a Butterfly. And what I've been doing was to get this lean figure that you saw, that you were admiring earlier when you went in on my zipper, was the...
Called out.
Was the what? I got confused for a second. All right, let's get back on track. What happened? All right, so the Pimp a Butterfly.
Mm.
Yes, I use it to pace myself. So yes, I've been working out, listening to Kendrick, and I've been doing these incline sprints. So I do these sprints, run. I do it. Kendrick would drop a bar, and in between the bar, I'd slow down and sprint back up. So that's how I've been doing that. The point I was trying to make is my son, he just started dropping some rhymes, and we were like, yeah, I listened to this song. I was like, what about this song? And he'd be like, well, what about this song? I'm like, oh, yeah, that one. And he'd start rapping it, and then when he'd take a breath the other day, I finished the line, and then he picked it back up. I didn't realize that I knew.
That's cute.
I haven't memorized it, but there are certain spots that I do know. And it was funny because we do it with KRS-One songs. Like, I know KRS, so we'll do it. We'll just recite Criminal Minded and just go bar for
bar.
But that was cool. But was the point of the part I really want to get to was he hit me up on FaceTime the other night, and I was at work. And I was like, how the fuck I get a FaceTime conversation? And he was like, pick up or whatever. And so I picked up, and he had two vinyl LPs of To Pimp a Butterfly and Good Kid, Mad City.
Nice.
I didn't buy them for him.
You got them.
Huh?
Who got him?
He did. Yeah.
He went and got him himself?
Yeah, he got him. Oh, well, you know, he ordered them.
I guess you can do that. You don't have to go digging for them anymore.
You can also order them. Where he lives, there's no vinyl record stores. But, I had to think about it. He took the initiative.
Mm-hmm. That's right? What I was just thinking. Yeah, he went and, like, got it himself, and he's into it.
Like, he took the initiative to buy vinyl.
Yeah.
Like, how easy would it have been for him just to download it? You know? It's on his phone. You ain't got to worry about it. He already had it on his phone anyway. See, he listens to Spotify. He's got a Spotify. Yeah. So the fact that he got it.
Yeah.
And he's embracing.
That's awesome.
That was nice. And stuff like that, you know, when I look back and I'm like, you know, 14 years in the game, you know what I mean? I don't really think about. I do have a relationship with his mom, but we don't fight, we don't fuss, we don't argue about shit. It was a long time ago, but I do remember everything as if it was yesterday, but I don't linger on it. But when I do look back, and I look back of, you know, all the, even now, you know, all the driving back and forth, because, I mean, he's an hour away from me, so all the driving and, you know, all that stuff that's hard to do. But when you get that, you know, that's the stuff that, you know, makes it worth it. That's for sure.
That's very, very sweet.
Yeah. Vinyl, man. I mean, how many kids, you know, I asked them, you know, I was like, well, what do your friends say about that? You know, when you talk to them and tell them, mm-hmm. they don't understand.
Really?
No, he's like, they don't get it. They don't even know what a record
Really?
They can't understand it. Hmm. Yeah, they can't understand it.
That's okay.
It's good to watch him embrace and to fall in love with hip hop. Because, you know, right now he's having those moments. He's having those moments where, like, when I first heard Planet Rock, or when I first heard Rakim, you know what I mean? He's having those moments with Kendrick and the artists that are around him. You know what I mean? Because he's got, you know, he's having relationships, and he's got girlfriends.
Girlfriends.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he has friends that are girls, but he's, you know, he's living. So, good, you know, it's just that time.
Well, you're lucky you get to see that and witness it.
No, I don't really, but I get
you
little.
Hear.
Yeah, I'll get bits and pieces of it. I wish, and again, this is me beating myself up. I wish I was more tapped in and involved, where I could be there every night to, you know, talk and to embrace, you know, me and give him a pound. But, you know, that's not the case. But I do appreciate those moments. That's for sure. Because, you know, we're not here for a very long time. That's for sure. We are not. And as we just heard, the passing of Prince, which, you know.
Very sad. Very, very sad. Shocking, sad.
That's the worst news I heard today. And yeah. Well, just in general. Like, how the fuck do you lose Michael Jackson and Prince?
It's just not right.
Huh?
I don't know.
I haven't even looked at social media since you brought it up. I haven't even looked. I did, actually. I saw my brother. You have to understand.
Oh, my God.
You have to understand how big Prince is in our house. You have to understand, like, you don't even I don't even know, I mean, no words. No, I gotta call my brother. I gotta make sure he's okay, because he's I saw a post good. That he put, and you have to understand, my brother had purple underwear, you know what I mean? My brother, everything that he did, you know, everything that my whole crew, though, the whole Purple Legionnaires, the Ninjas of Flint, Michigan,
mm-hmm.
all those cats, all those dudes, some of them were straight gangsters, patterned themselves after Prince. And I know it's hard for anyone listening to imagine, but there were, and there probably still are, G's out there, like straight G's. Straight up.
I don't want to laugh about this right now. That, I don't feel like it's, that, a good, it's a good time to laugh
that
about
embraced
it.
Prince. Like, yeah. That was their dude they from, you know, eyeliner. But these dudes would, man, they would take you out. I'm telling you, you wouldn't even, you don't even understand. And my heart goes out to the world, because, again, we've just lost, if this is true, you know, we lost a, someone of, yeah, I mean, it's on CNN.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah, no, it's, not the CNN, but, you know, I would like for it, and I would love for this not to be true, but, you know, the way we get information now, I mean.
Sad. Very, very sad.
It's devastating.
Yeah, I don't even know.
It's devastating. I mean, we don't even know the rippling effect. I mean, this void that's going to be, you know, in our culture, not just music, but in the culture itself. You know, I mean, even to this day, that the Michael Jackson void for me, and I know you, but yeah. you know, it's great. It's great. It's great, meaning it's huge. I mean, yeah. it is disturbing for me to think of a time and space without Michael Jackson or Prince. You know, it's very disturbing. You know, I mean, when we lost Fife Dog a few weeks back, I mean, it's just, and that's the thing you know, at least I have been thinking about. You know, when I get ill, when I look at where I'm at and the future, you have to be mindful, but at the same time, you do question your own mortality. At least I do, and I look at it, and I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid so much as because I'm really curious about, you know, the next transition. And it's one of those things where I think the universe has been communicating with me, because before I got sick, before I started getting ill, I talked to God a couple times. And what I mean by that, I mean through thought, through meditation, and through, I guess you could say, prayer. I don't subscribe to any set religion. I mean, I was brought up Baptist, you know what I mean? And I've been to a bunch of churches. I studied a little bit with Islam in the late 80s and 90s. And I've told, you know, I don't know. I don't understand enough. But about 5 years ago, I renounced anything to do with God. Anything. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. Unless it was a funeral. I don't think I've stepped into a church for a prayer or a fellowship or worship in any form, any communication. And I don't think I spoke about it. I don't know if I did. It's, you know, I mean, even this, it's personal. But I don't know what moved me to communicate. I don't know. I have no idea. But I did. And I have been. And a lot of it's through meditation. And I'll meditate whether it's at the gym or something like that, in a sauna or wherever. But usually it's at night when my mind can rest. But I don't know what propelled me or what motivated me. But I could just be, you know, I could be laying down or sitting, and I'll have an urge to communicate. And that recently just happened. And it's been, I know it's been 5 years. I know it's been 5 years that I haven't felt that. And I think that, you know, again, we need to pay attention, you know, to those vibes. I don't know what comes out of it, but I don't know. I mean, you come from a religious family, no?
Religion in my family was like my mom grew up somewhat religious. My dad, his family's religious, but when my parents met, they kind of made a decision because of how diverse the background was already with languages and stuff. They decided not to actually give us any religious guidance growing up. They felt like it was going to confuse us, and also just going to a French school, being in the States and just living in different countries. But I've lived in Muslim countries. Morocco is a Muslim country. There's also part of my family on the Finnish side that's pretty extreme as well, like on their side, you know. So, but now as my parents have aged,
yeah, but they do the fasting.
My dad does not. My stepmom does.
Oh, I got you.
My dad doesn't, but it's also for health reasons that he doesn't. So if you're sick or something, you're not supposed to. So he can't, just because of his illness. But like, but he also is not really, you know, he doesn't pray, he doesn't do all that. But then he has, there are certain things that the way he lives by. And
he's Muslim though, right?
Yes, but he doesn't practice really. He, yeah. In his mind, he considers himself a modern Muslim, you know, but there's still things he does. He's raised, he was raised very Muslim too. He knows he did go to the madrasa and like had that Islamic education to a certain extent. So he knows it, but he's also, he has an, you know, a Quran that's like highlighted, and he's done his, you know, research, and he's very logical about a lot of things too. So, but when I've asked my parents for religious guidance, when I was going through some stuff myself, it was kind of difficult because they still, even though they're not together, they still kept kind of to their decision, you know, to not influence our religion, you know, or religious beliefs or whatnot. So religion really wasn't, it wasn't in my school. It wasn't, but Islam is the religion I was most probably surrounded by, and I've seen the most and I know the most about. So, but no, not super religious, but yes, extended family, yes, you know, to a certain extent. So it's a mix.
Yeah, I don't know if any of this has the answer or that one is looking for. Like, I don't know if any religion, any labeled religion, has the answer at what I'm looking for, what Malcolm is looking for. I don't know. I just said, you know, all I say is can say is for whatever reason.
You had an urge, and that's interesting that you gave into it, you know, and it's good that you did, you know, because like I've had those urges, and I've had my own relationship, you know, with God and whatnot. And it's just, you know, it's, I think, you know, maybe you might not know why you had that urge, but maybe that's not really as important as, well,
it's an ongoing urge, and it's, I don't know if it is, you know, I don't know if it's spirit. I don't know if it's God. I don't know if it's the universe. I don't know if it's me that I'm talking to.
Maybe it doesn't need a label, though. Or
maybe it's a combination of all. I don't know. But for 5 years, I've turned away from that communication. And I'm interested. I'm interested. I'm paying attention. And I think that, you know, when I see something like this with Prince passing, I think we all should pay attention. Not say find religion, find God, but just understand how fragile life is and appreciate it. And I'm, you know, more or less I'm saying this to myself. You know, I'm sure most people understand this. But, I mean, you look at this. I mean, 57 years. I mean, how young is that?
Yeah, I didn't even know he had fallen ill. So
I knew he went to the hospital. He was rushed to the hospital last week, I think it was. I mean, it's just young. I mean, I look around and there are a lot of people my age, you know, in their 40s that are dying, you know. I mean, of course, I mean, it's something that we need to pay attention to, because it affects everyone. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're, this guy is, you know,
everyone knows
wealthy,
Prince.
Famous. He's got everything, women, clothes, you know, all the stuff that you think,
no one's invincible,
you know, equates to success. And there's one thing you can't stop. And this is truly, truly a sad day. There's no doubt about that. Just because of his influence and impact that he has throughout the world. It's, you know, especially, you know, everybody has their story. Everyone has their memories of what he means to them. But I can tell you, you know, huge. I mean, my family. I mean, just bigger than. I mean, he's like the sun. I can't. I'm not exaggerating one bit. And I couldn't. I can't. It's difficult to process. That's for sure.
It's too much.
It is. It is. It's a lot. And there's a lot going on. There's real shit going on. The shit's still going on in Flint, Michigan. You know, I told somebody at the wine tasting last night. They were asking me where I'm from, where I grew up, and I was telling them Flint, and they were talking about the water and all this stuff. And I was like, man, come on. I'm not going to get all political up in this camp, but what you're hearing is just the surface. You know what I mean? They don't tell you about the kids that are being killed crossing, you know, just trying to go into another neighborhood. They don't tell you about.
It's
you
more
know.
Than just the water, but the water is definitely the.
I was like, we were boiling water when I was there. I mean, they don't tell you about. I was like, the stuff that's going on in the hood, they're not telling you about that stuff. That's the water thing. Yeah, they can't hold that back. That's
they tried.
yeah, but. And I'm curious to see how long they keep, you know, they're talking about it in local news and stuff. But like I said, these candidates that are running for president, I'm not impressed with them at all. You know, they're over here and they're running around in the black community, you know, trying to get votes. And then as soon as they get in, they're going to disappear. They don't give a fuck, you know. And I'm honest, like at this point with the election, I don't talk a lot about it. I probably won't vote. I will go and I will exercise my right to go to the poll. But there's a good chance when I go to the poll, I doubt I will vote for Hillary Clinton. I doubt that's going to happen. And just for the sake of supporting the Democratic Party, I just have this. My gut feeling is that she is someone that embodies all of what's wrong with politics. I'm not saying she doesn't have good intentions and she has some good policy making, but I don't think I would feel good just because she's the choice that I should vote for when, you know, when I look at any alternative. And again, I don't think that the two-party system is the system that should be in play. The system is corrupt, and Senator Sanders has ousted it and has been keeping that in the forefront of his platform about this corrupt system. But you know, he's getting a raw deal, and you know what he believes in is you know, something better for the future. And I'm not talking about my future. I'm talking about children that aren't even born yet, and that doesn't sit too well in this sort of structured politics, doesn't.
It's true.
It doesn't. It does not. They want more of the same. They don't seem to want Trump, but they do want a deal maker in office, someone who's not going to slow down the momentum of this machine, you know, challenge its authority to do what it's been doing, which is basically making the rich rich, and everyone else pays for it. In a nutshell, I'm no politician. I'm no historian on this matter. I'm just going with my gut on it. And there's a strong chance, I've thought about this time and time again, that I have no intention on casting a vote. I might have to vote for the Green Party or something. I've been looking at that candidate, man. I mean, good night.
I don't know. I'm having a hard time.
Yeah, well, you make sure you register.
I am.
All right. All right, Mariam Tazi. I mean, women have paid the cost. Mm-hmm. All right, people. Look, I got to move on. I got to move on to a different subject. I saw a couple films. You know what I mean? Can't be just, you know, talking gloom and doom up in this camp. But, you know, respect out to Prince. You know?
Yeah.
Good night. Saw a couple films. Saw a couple television shows that I like. You know what I mean? Been watching.
Okay. Like what?
I really like is Dice, the Andrew Dice Clay show. It's on Showtime. Mm. I don't even know if I can pull a clip up of it. Let me see what I can pull up. You familiar with Andrew Dice Clay?
A little bit, yes. But what is it? Is it about him or is it okay? But is it like a documentary?
So, no. It's kind of like I'd say closer to. I guess you can't get more raw than Curb Your Enthusiasm, but kind of Curb Your Enthusiasm-esque in style about a comic that was at the, it's about him. He plays Andrew Dice Clay and he's moved on in years since the days of selling out stadiums and bringing in the boatloads of money and women and all that stuff and, you know, being a rock star. And so it's based on that where he's, you know, he's older now and he's trying to take care of, you know, his family and find jobs and find a way to get, you know, quote unquote, back on top.
Get it.
So, yeah, he's making his rounds and he's living in Vegas.
Oh.
Yeah, he's in Vegas. The television show is based in Vegas. So he's in Vegas and he lands a gig at the Tangiers Hotel.
That's Tanja in Morocco.
Is that why you chuckled when it was coming out? The Tangiers. I like the Tangiers.
Well, that's how you say. That is how you say it. But in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying it's the real place is Tanja.
Let's see if it comes up.
Okay, I feel like I've seen commercials or something for this. Oh, we can't hear it.
Not yet. Hold on. Control shit from this side.
There you go.
Maybe you forgot. 89, the most famous comic to ever walk the planet Earth.
Eddie Murphy?
When you reach that level of success, it's hard to stay there. So I grabbed my girlfriend Carmen and my sons, and we moved to Vegas to make things a little easier.
We're broke. What if I get a job?
No girl of mine needs to help out.
Girl of mine? Who says that?
I say that. Maybe you forgot I'm from Brooklyn.
You're from Brooklyn?
Yeah.
We're gonna have you paired with Chris Angel.
Comics and magicians, they don't blend. That's not how it works. I'm telling you, I get it. You're intense, you wear the tight clothes, but you wanna last on the strip, you gotta put some animals in there.
I'm on a mission, Dice, to transform your offspring into international superstars. Are you in or out? You got 5 seconds to give me an answer.
5 seconds? When does that start?
What do you mean?
Well, can the 5 seconds start tonight so I get the night to think about it?
I got us the meeting tomorrow at 7:30 a.m.
He can't get up that early.
He's never woken up before noon in his life.
I know, that's why I'm telling y'all.
Well, what am I, 5 years old?
There's a lot of hand gestures.
I will do whatever it takes. I'll get back on stage. I got a meeting today. Tony at the Tangiers.
You want me to take my dick out?
No.
Because I'll lay it out on this table. It's big enough to make you blush.
So you in that movie,
that was a great
played
episode.
A piano.
I didn't play a piano. I played a character who played the piano.
You know, I haven't seen it in a long time, so, you know.
There's a whole lot of that. Like, just smart ass remarks.
That looks pretty funny.
I chuckle. I'm going to watch the series again. It's only maybe 6 episodes series or something. It's a short one.
Good for you. You don't have time for 30 more
minutes.
Than that.
Yeah, 30 minutes. I put him on. But damn, it makes me laugh. I mean, some of the shit that he does in this, man. He gets pulled over. There's one episode, the Adrian Brody one is very good. Adrian Brody plays Adrian Brody, who's doing the life story of Andrew Dice Clay. So he's all but moves in with him so he can just study and watch. And you could see Dice get annoyed. So good. But
that's funny.
It's funny seeing a guy like that. You know what I mean? A guy from the 70s and 80s in circa 2016.
I'm glad it's actually him, and you know he's poking fun even at himself.
Oh, it's great. It's hilarious.
Good for him. I'm glad he did something, because it's true. He's the same.
No, but he's a great actor. Remember he was in Blue. What was that movie with the Woody Allen movie? He was great in.
Remember? Oh yeah, Blue Jasmine.
Yeah,
that's
and then
right.
then he was
that's
he's,
right. I forgot that he was in that too.
Yeah, and then he's been in a couple movies, man. He's got some serious range. He was just in Scorsese's Vinyl. Have you watched Vinyl?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, that's another show. Let me tell you.
I'll watch it. I need to get into it. You don't need to talk. Didn't you already talk about it on this? I think you did.
Oh man. All I'm saying, if you haven't watched Vinyl yet.
Yeah, you played the trailer too.
I'm not going to play it, but I just want to pull it up so I can refresh. Vinyl itself is masterful. Storytelling, editing, and acting. All the way around, from start to finish. I mean, it is... What are you laughing at?
Just your passion for describing this.
It is the perfect series, especially for music. In that era, you're talking about the late 70s and going into the early 80s. I assume that's what it's based in. Yeah, 70s. And then you got, what's his name? Bobby Cannavale? Is that how you pronounce his name?
I think. I don't know.
Cannavale.
Yeah.
He was in Blue Jasmine.
Oh, yeah.
This guy, let me tell you something, man. If you haven't watched Blue Jasmine,
yeah,
you guys,
now,
let's just come out and
that's
say
that's
a
great film.
Watch Blue Jasmine and see some great. Actually, there's a few cats in Blue Jasmine.
I'm looking
that are
it
in
up
Vinyl.
Right now. That's cool.
But this guy, man, he is amazing. He's got so much range. It has Olivia. What's her name? Olivia Wilde. She's in it. She's just a dove. Man, she is a minx. I mean, she's
a dove and a minx.
Man, she is just, she embodies sexiness. I mean, she, you know, like when you see, like you see Common or something like that, right? Huh?
I drool, yeah.
Yeah, it's that same style. It's just like, you know, God. I mean, I like Common too, man. I mean, Jesus Christ. I almost drool when I see that brother. That's a smooth brother
right
there.
You don't have to tell
me. I saw, speaking of him, I saw Barbershop.
How was that?
That
I want to see that.
You need to go see. I'll see
I
that
am going
to
go.
I'll see it again. Probably one of the funniest movies I've seen
in
a long time.
See
have you seen the trailer?
Yeah. It's good.
I mean, there's some scenes in there with Common, man. Like, straight up, it's like, I would fucking jump on that dude.
You don't have to tell me, man. Like,
man, like, and I'm a fan. Even I'm a Nicki Minaj fan after seeing that movie. I mean, damn,
that's fun. Those
they must
women had a lot of fun doing that together.
The movie is great.
I'm sure
they had fun. Dice, you got to watch Dice. Dice out. Vinyl. If you're not watching Vinyl, man, just stop.
Okay.
Stop whatever you're watching. I don't care what you're watching. You need to just stop it, please, and watch Vinyl. I mean, it's this is the last episode. They were. I think he was with Kool Herc. I mean, it's just right there on the cutting edge of hip hop. It's like right there. And I'm just like, ugh. You know? These guys are writing lyrics.
That
and it's just
be, that should be in the next show.
I don't know where it's going to take, but I heard the creators left. He's not going to be HBO's not bringing the creator back for the second season, which yeah, I hope he doesn't do True Detectives and jump the shark.
Damn.
Yeah, that's going to suck. But this first season, hey, I'm good.
Do I want to be teased like that then?
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Wow, man, okay. It's got everyone in it, man.
I know, but I'm going to want more, and then it's not going to be good. I'm going to be disappointed. Matter. Like, I'm so disappointed. Dexter, I should have never watched, you know?
This shit is like Mad Men with music.
Okay.
I mean, you got David Bowie. Any act that you can think of, those guys show up, and you'd be like, that's... And you look at it, and you'd be like, that's... And it's so satisfying. Just all the way around.
Okay.
The writing, the editing. The editing's on point.
All right.
But yeah, I saw Barbershop was great. I mean, it was uplifting, inspirational, erotic. Yeah, I know. There's some scenes up in that motherfucker. Took my son and I went. Well, actually. Oh. Yeah, yeah. There were some scenes he didn't understand, and I was like, don't worry, you'll understand one day. That's for sure. Well, it was his choice. He wanted to see it. I wanted to go see The Jungle Book.
I heard that's really good, too.
I haven't seen it, but he was like, no, let's go see Barbershop. And I was like, really? I was like, it wasn't even on my rate. It wasn't even close to being anywhere what I wanted to see it. And I'm
hip-hop, though.
So happy that we went to see it. I was the loudest one in the theater. I had the people in the theater laughing because I was talking to the screen. I was literally being a commentator, not on purpose. It's just I had no choice.
Came out.
There were scenes where I had to call out Nicki Minaj and be like, you know, I had to call her out a couple few times, and so I had a few people in stitches.
That's good. That's entertaining.
Yeah, it was good, and it was a good choice. But there was a trailer for a movie that I want to see. That came out in the beginning of Barbershop. Is this one? What is it?
When the Bow Breaks.
Yeah, it's with Morris Chestnut.
Was this why you told me to read it?
No, I literally can't see.
Oh, it is kind of. Yeah.
She's trying to make long fun time to get pregnant. It really put the two of us through hell.
Hey, we're gonna have a family.
Are you sure you still want to be a surrogate?
Yes, I am.
Look at her eyes. She means it.
If we do this, we just want to make sure that you and Anna are comfortable with it. We're down to our last viable embryo.
And baby, it's your business.
She took a home test.
I'm gonna be a father.
Mr. Mitchell is going to be taken in and charged with domestic battery.
I don't have another place to stay.
Yes, you do.
That's a mistake.
Anna, we'd like you to stay here with us.
If you ever come near Anna again, I'll bust your head open.
I love that dress.
Okay, you can admit it.
Okay, hold on. Mm-hmm. Let me comment on this. Okay, mm-hmm. So this Morris Chestnut, we know Morris Chestnut from his debut in Boys in the Hood, where he played Ricky. And Ricky, you know,
yeah.
Ricky didn't make it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it hurts me every time.
But as an actor, he did quite well.
As an actor and a sex symbol, I might add. Mm. I shouldn't be the one adding it. But yeah, he's a smooth brother, man. I like it, man. I like seeing more films with us. You know what I mean? I need to pay more attention. I was taking notes because every trailer that previewed before Barbershop, man, everyone looked good, and this is the one I remembered. I was like, oh, I gotta see this. But this Morris Chestnut and his lovely wife are having, you know, some hardship in conceiving, so they get a surrogate. So this is kind of reminds me of Single White Female.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
But everybody in the movie is hot.
Mm-hmm.
And what does Morris Chestnut do?
Bad things.
He brings right here where I stopped the clip. She's like, I have nowhere to go. You'll always have a place. Well,
you can stay Morris with us and swim in the nude.
No. And you can't wear the dress that's not yours. There's certain things you just. It's not worth it, Morris Chestnut. Okay, now you're gonna be Ricky. You know what happened to Ricky? All right, and Boys in the Hood.
Uh-oh.
Well, you weren't paying attention, and you got 12 gauged. Right in the back, and mm-hmm. you lost your scholarship.
Yep.
Right, oh. Got Doughboy killed. All right, so let's see. Let's finish the clip.
Beautiful. I told Laura she's lucky to have you.
That must be nice, living up in that big, beautiful house.
Is that the dress you gave him?
No, it's not. Don't be afraid of me, John.
You're already inside of me. You can do anything you want to me.
This isn't gonna happen.
When you're around me, my whole body reacts.
Yeah.
No! You out of your mind?
John,
no.
You need to be nicer to me. This is my baby.
I will leave.
That is our baby. She cannot leave.
When does it become a kidnapping?
Never. When she gives birth, it is her child until she relinquishes that right.
You're gonna get more money. And in the eyes of the law, since it's inside of you, it belongs to us.
She's dangerous, John. She could kill your baby today.
Do what you have to do to bring my baby back.
If she does anything to hurt my child, I'll kill her.
Yeah, the trailer itself kind of pulls you in, or is it just me? It's me, right? Because I'm really into that trailer.
No, I mean, I would watch that kind of film. I'm surprised you would, because this is the kind of stuff that, like, the storyline is what I have on my soap opera, for example. You know, so I am entertained by these kinds of films.
Yeah, but I like a nice.
But yes, everybody is very good looking in that. I'm not denying that.
Everyone's smooth looking up in that camp, man.
Yeah, it's a little. She's a little psycho, though. That one chick.
Yeah, so that's on my radar to see. But yeah, if you haven't watched Vinyl, man, come on, man.
All right, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I've been watching other stuff and working and reading. So I'm listening to music.
Yeah, what are you listening to?
I've been listening to, Miles Davis after we saw that.
Did you listen to the album I told you to listen to?
Yeah, I've heard it before.
Woo-wee!
So, I've been listening to that quite a bit. That's been cool. No, I've just been kind of playing with Apple Music and listening to whole albums of, like, funk and just stuff that I've been meaning to download. And so, just old stuff. A lot of old funk. Actually, and like the Budos band and stuff, just like good, great albums. A lot of instrumental stuff, actually, but funky. It's fun. It's a good, like, it gets me going. I can do other stuff. It's like good music to kind of get shit done.
Yeah, the one I told you to listen to, which you knew, I never listened to it, was the Bitches Brew.
Well, I'd also heard about it. There's a beer based on that too, but yeah.
That is a funky album.
Yeah.
I mean, there's stuff going on, and mainly I listen to it with the headphones on.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot.
And you can hear him
layered.
Giving instruction. You know what I mean? You can hear him in the background. Nice. Just a whisper, you know? I mean, yeah, when you see the movie, what was the movie?
What was it?
With Don Cheadle.
Yeah, I forget what it was actually called, though. I don't want to call it the Miles Davis movie, but it's like Miles, is it Miles Away or something?
Miles Ahead, maybe?
Miles Ahead. Yep, that's it.
So, yeah, Don Cheadle did this film, recently released, called Miles Ahead. And it takes place, I guess, at a certain intersection of the great Miles Davis when he was on a hiatus, right? And, I find that the most interesting. You know, instead of trying to tell the whole story from start to finish, where he was born and all that stuff, and try to cram it all into 2 hours, you know what I mean? I find it more fascinating to take parts of someone's life and then tell that story. It can be, you know, you can make 6 Miles Davis movies from different time periods of his life, but this was a fascinating watch. Cheadle directed it. He wrote, direct, and stars in it alongside of Ewan McGregor. Mm-hmm. And, quite fascinating film, and it's one of those films that inspires you to dig a little deeper, and it definitely sent me on a mission to dig deep and listen to Miles and what do you call it, social music?
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag social music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, man, I'm just a powerful, powerful performance.
It was really, I liked it a lot.
Man. So, yeah, when I listened to Bitches Brew, though, I mean, yeah, I was hearing things from the left side, from the right side, the center. I mean, and just the funk. I mean, just every, the dude with the strings, you know what I mean? Doom, 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 doom. You know what I mean? I mean, and I was thinking about the movie, them practicing and him upstairs fighting and just, you know, just getting everything just so.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about that commitment, you know?
Yeah. It's very impressive. But it's like, you know, it was probably his urge. He needed to get it out. Yeah. He needed to get that music out. It's that creative, like.
And that's just it. That's where I find myself. And that's where I'm having a serious issue because there's things that I want to get out. And, you know, not that I'm looking for. I'm not looking for riches or fame or anything like that. It's just, I wonder if the world will ever see, you know what I mean? I wonder if the world will ever see any of it at the rate I'm going. And I don't have anyone to blame but myself. That's it. That's my struggle. That's my fight. And I just wanted to clear that up with the listeners. That's it. That's it, Mariam Tazi. That's all I got right now.
Okay, well, it's pretty good already.
That's it. I babbled and rambled enough.
Yeah, but you showed up.
Yeah, I guess that's half the battle.
Mm-hmm.
It's showing up.
Yeah.
Domino, motherfucker.
The American Riddle Podcast. Malcolm Riddle. Riddle. The American Riddle Podcast.